Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is in Studio X, pushing all the right buttons, turning all the right knobs, making it happen here on a Wednesday evening. Thank you guys for joining us. If you really want to join the show, do it on the C-Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Of course, we're presented by our friends over at Dasa Big Four. Are you looking for a new vehicle right now? They've got an incredible selection at Dasa Big Four, but most of all, they've got incredible prices, and they're going to take care of you because that's what they've been doing for 47 years. Family-run business, they know how to treat their customers from the moment you walk onto the lot. 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo, or you can visit them online at DasaBig4.com. All right, let's talk some baseball. A little later in the show, we will talk some softball. Coach Samantha Ricketts will join the show. Got a chance to talk to her about her team headed to the Super Regionals for the second time in her career at Mississippi State. Really good conversation, but that's going to be later. Bulldog postseason baseball is underway. Starts today with a 12-2 win over the Missouri Tigers. Who can't beat Missouri? Can you imagine? Missouri's terrible. How did anybody lose to them this year? That's an embarrassment. And so State will advance to play again on Thursday. I was confused on the format of this tournament. I thought there were another four games tomorrow. There aren't. There are two games tomorrow, then two games on Friday. So if State wins tomorrow, they'll play again. They won't play again until Saturday. State has made a couple of decisions that Brian Haydad sitting over here on the sidelines would have has questioned, but decision one seems to have worked out. The decision to move Tomas Valinkas up a day and go with him was surprising, but it worked out. He threw 78 pitches on after the game, O'Connor said we had him on a pitch count of 80. So he threw 78 and six complete. They got Ben Davis out there to throw a few pitches. He can easily come back maybe a Saturday if you needed him to. And, of course, you get the run rule game, so you get out of there a little quicker. Vitas Valencias making SEC history today. The first ever player in the history of the Southeastern Conference tournament to hit two home runs in the same inning. Think about all the great players that have played in the SEC tournament and all the great power hitters and all the games that have been played. And that's the first time it's ever happened. I was shocked to learn that statistic, but he had a really big day. Ryder Woodson with a three-run home run. He's been hitting the ball a lot better. And that's a guy, gosh, there's a lot of potential there. You know, he's obviously struggled at times this year. I honestly think Ryder Woodson is going to be your starting third baseman next year. I don't think he's cut out for short. You got to go to the portal and find a shortstop, but that's a conversation for another day. So that was the first decision, the decision to go with Valinkas and move him up. But here's the payoff of that. Now he gets an extra couple of days of rest. He's not going to have to pitch again until next Friday. At worst, and it could possibly be next Saturday, depending on how State wants to handle its rotation. So the second decision was against Georgia. I thought they might go with Ryan McPherson because that's a guy who needs innings. He needs to continue to expand the length he can go into games. And there's no guarantee that State's going to play another game. They're playing Georgia, the SEC champion, a team that swept them in the regular season. State will be an underdog in this game. But they are going to go with Duke Stone. So I do wonder if Mississippi State will set it up where Ryan McPherson can come in, keep Stone on a pitch count, and then when he reaches that, you go to McPherson and let him get a couple of innings because he needs the work. You want to have him ready to go. If not this next weekend with the regional, certainly by the time you get to Super Regionals, you'd like Ryan McPherson to just be able to go out there without limitations. That gives you your best chance to win and to go to Omaha. The Starkville Regional is certainly going to be a thing for Mississippi State. If you have not already booked your hotel rooms, made your plans, picked out what you're going to cook in the lounge or at your tailgates, you could start doing that. That's going to be the case. It's going to be a question of what super regional is State paired with. I don't think State can get to the other side of the bracket and be the 8 seed. I just don't think, regardless of how many games they win in this tournament. And look, think about it like this. If they were to, you know, to win games here, they'd have to beat Georgia, have to beat either Alabama or Florida, maybe beat Texas, Texas A&M, something, Auburn, something. High RPI teams. I still don't think it's enough. I think the committee does a lot of the work ahead of time. But it certainly can't hurt. And maybe it can raise them up a couple of seeds where instead of where they're currently projected to go play play the Super Regional in Athens or in Austin, maybe you're playing in Tuscaloosa or College Station. You would feel better about your chances of winning there. But by and large, yeah, the Starkville Regional, that's going to happen. That's locked in. We will have two regionals here in the state of Mississippi. We'll have Starkville and Hattiesburg. Ole Miss losing yesterday ended any chances for them. Somebody on the C-Spire text line, will Malewski be back? So I asked, you know, Connor about that on Tuesday when I got the chance to talk to him, and he's in concussion protocol. He told us yesterday that after practice, it did not look good for him to play today. So could he play tomorrow? I don't know. My guess is you're going to be careful with him. You want him to play in the regional. Why take any risks? Sean James can play catcher. You know, he's not the best defensive catcher you've got. There's no question about that. But I think you probably just play it safe with Malewski. I would be surprised to see him this week, if we're being totally honest. I would want him. I'd want to play err on the side of caution with him. Will Georgia pitch their ace? I haven't seen who Georgia is pitching. Let me see if I can find it. Georgia has announced their starter. If they have, it's not on the their Twitter feed, so I don't know the answer to that question. But I if I'm Georgia, knowing what I know, that I am locked in as a top 8 seed, you know, I would probably want to set my rotation up to be able to pitch my ace Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and give them the rest. I don't know that I would go with their ace. I don't know that, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what the plan is for the Georgia Bulldogs. I just know what Mississippi State's plan is. At least as far as their starting pitcher goes. I am surprised, though. I won't lie to you. I really did think that this was an opportunity for McPherson to go. But at the same time, maybe McPherson's not ready to be moved up a day. Or in this case, moved up 2 days. You know, he pitched last Saturday. Maybe he's just not ready to go, you know, even on a pitch count. He's not ready to go 2 days ahead of schedule. And then you just have to play it by ear. Maybe it's a, you know, you think about it from that situation where if you're State and you win tomorrow, McPherson would pitch on Saturday, which would be his normal day. You don't have to move him up at all. So maybe that's how they want to look at it, but we shall see. It could be a situation where if State's down late in the game that they just find a way to warm him up and let him get an inning or let him throw 20, 25 pitches just to get him to work because he needs that. He absolutely needs that. No game Friday for the winner, right, off until Saturday. Exactly. So if State were to win tomorrow, McPherson could come back on his normal day. And wouldn't have to be, you know, strained or rushed ahead or anything like that. I've come to the conclusion with this team, and it's just my thoughts, that I see this team getting through the regional, but the super regional is going to be tough. And, you know, I base that on the fact that they played what? In SEC play, they played seven NCAA tournament teams, and they lost the series to six of them. The only one they were able to win was the Ole Miss series. They lost 2 out of 3 to Arkansas. They got swept by Georgia. They got swept by Tennessee. They lost 2 out of 3 to Texas. They lost 2 out of 3 to Auburn. They lost 2 out of 3 to Texas A&M. The other three series they won were Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and LSU. Those three teams will not be in the NCAA tournament. State was also 0-4 this year in rubber games. So even when they were able to get a win in the series, you think about these last two weekends, they dominated game one against Auburn. They dominated game one against Texas A&M. They weren't able to put together two wins after that. So that's my concern with this team. You know, can they win a series against a top team? If they have to go to Texas, if they have to go to Georgia, or even if they have to go to Tuscaloosa and College Station, I think those would be easier, but they're certainly, I mean, they just lost 2 out of 3 in College Station. So why would I don't necessarily, wouldn't predict them to go to College Station and win. I wouldn't predict them to go to Tuscaloosa and win. They've struggled this year against top competition, you know, and that's, the comment I made on Thunder and Lightning on the podcast was, there's kind of reminds me of Dan Mullen a little bit. Like, you knew Mullen was going to win the games against the teams he was supposed to beat? Like, how many times was he upset in his time at Mississippi State? Once, twice, something like that. But when he played the teams that were equal or better to him, he struggled. And that team kind of has this. And, you know, that's not a problem because they've won 40 games and they've won, you know, they're in position to host a regional. They've had a fine season. It's been good enough. Maybe a little disappointing that they aren't going to be in the super regional hosting side of things, but by and large, they've been okay. But it does concern you that can they get to Omaha if they have to go on the road and win a super regional against the team. One thing about this team, though, they have been better on the road. They won two more games on the road than they won at home this year in SEC play, which is just a really weird outlier, but it kind of is what it is. Let's look at the bracket projections when we come back. I'll pull up the most recent ones from D1 and from Baseball America, sort of get an idea of where they're thinking Mississippi State could end up in this NCAA tournament. We will do that when we come back. We'll do that in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Just getting started with you. Back in just a minute.
Hello.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for joining me here on a Wednesday evening. C-Spire text line. We got a text here with a one of Georgia's beat writers reported likely Volko for tomorrow for Georgia. That is their ace. That's Anthony Dasher reporting that from UGA Sports. That's our On3 website. And, yes, that is what he says, that Georgia has announced that Joey Volko will start Thursday's game. Volko on the season has indeed been the ace for the Georgia Bulldogs. He's 8-2 on the year, 4.22 ERA, 87 strikeouts, 38 walks, batters hitting .244 against him. He bitched the first game of the series. I'm sorry. Against Mississippi State on a Thursday, April 2nd. Gave up 8 hits in 5 innings, but only 2 runs, struck out 3, and had a walk. That was the game where when he left the game, they were up 10-2, and State made a furious comeback there, but dropped the game 10-9. But he scattered some hits. He got on base against them, but State couldn't find a way to burst through there. So it'll be interesting to see how they react, having seen him before. And as we mentioned earlier, Mississippi State going with Duke Stone. All right, let's look at these brackets here. We'll start with D1 baseball because they haven't updated today. Their last update was from May 18th, but they have Mississippi State as the 14 overall seed, with Coastal Carolina, who, if you were listening to Sports Talk Mississippi, we just talked about it. They dropped their first game in the Sun Belt tournament. That's a team that has plummeted. A few weeks ago, they were a top 8 seed. Now they're definitely going to not host, and will be on the road. So they could be in Starkville with Michigan and St. John's as the 3 and the 4. That's paired with, coincidentally, the Athens Georgia Regional. Georgia is the 3 seed with Miami, Mercer, and Bethune Cookman. Other teams of note on the D1 side of things: Oklahoma is the 2 seed in Atlanta with Georgia Tech. Ole Miss, the 2 seed in Lawrence, Kansas, with Kansas. Kansas is going to host a regional. Their resume really isn't deserving of it, but the Big 12 champ is just going to get a host. There's just no getting around that. That's just a fact at this point. Nebraska, the Nebraska regional, Lincoln, Nebraska, Arkansas is the 2 seed there. Texas is the 5 seed in the D1 baseball regional, paired with Morgantown. Tuscaloosa, the 6 seed. Florida State, paired with Florida State, Tallahassee, where Kentucky is the 3 seed. Auburn is the 7 national seed, paired with Gainesville, the 10 seed. And College Station, the 8 seed, Texas A&M, they're paired with Hattiesburg, Southern Miss, where Tennessee is the 2 seed there. On the Baseball America side of things, and our friend Jacob Ruttner, this is an update from today, so it's as close to the to being as, you know, as up-to-date as we can get. For him, Mississippi State is the 13 seed, the Starkville Regional, hosting Wake Forest, Southeast Missouri State, and Lamar, and they're paired with Austin, with the Texas Longhorns, where Boston College, Liberty, and Holy Cross, one of the 2 teams in college baseball that have already punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament along with Yale. That's the Austin Regional. Again, looking around here, Oklahoma, the 2 seed in the Atlanta Regional here as well. He has Ole Miss going to Eugene, Oregon. We have the Ducks as the 15 seed with Ole Miss as his 2 seed there, with Virginia as the 3 seed there. That would be a very tough regional for all of those teams. Athens, Georgia, the 3 seed, the Georgia Bulldogs, they're paired with Lawrence, Kansas. Austin paired with Starkville, as we mentioned. Chapel Hill paired with Lincoln, Nebraska. Tennessee is the 2 seed at North Carolina. The Auburn Regional, the 6 seed Auburn Tigers, paired with Hattiesburg. That's where he has Southern Miss with Arkansas as the 2 seed there. That would be a very intriguing matchup between the Golden Eagles and the Razorbacks. Tuscaloosa, the 7 seed, Alabama, paired with Tallahassee. And then College Station paired with Gainesville, Texas A&M, and Florida. So that's where we stand right this second as far as postseason predictions go. That it feels like Mississippi State, I don't think they can get up to 8, but could they get up to like 11 or 10, maybe even 9 with a win? A win tomorrow would go a long way. And it's kind of interesting, right? Georgia, from an RPI perspective, is not great because their strength of schedule is really, really bad. But because they're the SEC champions, they're going to be a high seed. But they're 14th in RPI. State, from an RPI perspective, is 12th. And we had some people in the C-Spire text line earlier, like, can you explain RPI? No, I can't. It's a mathematic formula that takes into account your strength of schedule, who you played, when you played them, who they played, when they played them. To explain it would require a chalkboard. But it is interesting that State is 12th in RPI and Georgia is 14th. But Georgia has a better overall record, beat Mississippi State in Starkville 3 times, and won the SEC. But the big difference there is that Georgia played, they have 3 bad losses, whereas Mississippi State has none. One of the positives about Mississippi State's resume is they have no bad losses. They're 27-0 quad 3, quad 4, whereas Georgia is 27-3. So they have 3 quote-unquote bad losses. Mississippi State and Auburn are the only teams in the top 12 that have zeros as far as bad losses go. So that's a big plus for the Bulldogs on their resume, considering they only have 9 quad 1 wins, which, you know, when you look at the numbers in front of them, there's only 3 teams. There's only 1 team with 9 other than them. That's Nebraska. The worst team in here is USC, who has an RPI of 8. And I don't understand. This is where you say, explain RPI. Here's where it breaks down for me. USC is 8th in the RPI. They are currently the third place team. They're tied for third. They're tied for third in the Big Ten. They are 1-10 against quad one teams. They have 1 quad 1 win all year. Meanwhile, they've played 17 plus 19. They've played 36 quad 3, quad 4 games, and they've lost 3 of those. I have no idea why USC's RPI is as high as it is, but they certainly won't host, even with that high RPI. How can Bama be ranked 15th but a national seed? Somebody is off. I mean, the same way that, you know, Kansas is going to be there. Alabama's RPI is 7th. They have 18 SEC wins. They do have 3 quote-unquote bad losses, but they have 15 quad one wins. That's the second most in college baseball. Only Georgia Tech has more. They're tied with Auburn, and Florida has Florida. Yeah, there are 3 teams tied with 15. They just have more good wins than everybody. So Alabama's a good baseball team. They deserve to be on the national seed side of things. 18-12 in the SEC. And the same thing holds, you know, if Mississippi State had 18 SEC wins, I don't know that from an RPI perspective that they would be much higher than 8th or 9th. And I don't know that from a rankings perspective they wouldn't be. I mean, they're 16th right now. They'd probably be like 10 or 11. But they would absolutely be a top 8 seed if they had 18 conference wins. So the rankings are low on them. I guess. I guess, you know, there's a difference between the rankings and the RPI. The rankings are just a arbitrary, you know, you've got people doing that. You've got people who look at the games, they do use the eye test, They watch the games and they go, okay, this is where I'm going to rank these teams. RPI is mathematics. There is no eye test to RPI. They are simply, this is what we plug the numbers in and they just come out. RPI is simply your record and all of your opponent's record. Correct. It also matters, though, where you play these games. You get a boost for playing games on the road and in neutral sites versus at home. Another one of the strengths of State's resume is those two wins they have in Arlington. Those are both quad two wins for Mississippi State, the Virginia Tech and Arizona State games. And Mississippi State's win over Virginia Tech was a quad one win until last week when the Hokies took a big, a big tumble in the rankings. They went from 38 to 45, and that knocked a quad one win off of State's resume. State could have already, could have easily been a national seed this year. And they won those last two series. If they had just games there, they were up 1-0. If they could have beaten Auburn one more time and beaten Texas A&M one more time, they'd be 18-12. They would 100% be the 7 or 8 seed in this tournament. But they didn't get that job done. And so they're going to be on the road when we talk about the second round, assuming they can get out of their own regional, which again, I think they can. The thing about State is, non-conference this year, they've lost twice. One game was to the number one team in the nation on a neutral site. The other game was to the, what is Southern Miss ranked? 8th, 9th? And they lost that game on the road. Those are the only two non-conference games Mississippi State has lost this season. So if you're talking about being in a regional with three other non-SEC teams, I feel great about State's chances to advance through that. It's when they start having to play either the elite SEC teams or possibly a Georgia Tech. I don't think they'll be the 15 or the 16 seed, but we'll have to see. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit, but we're going to stay on postseason sports on the diamond. Coach Samantha Ricketts got her team through the Oregon Regional and into a Super Regional. They're one of the last 16 teams standing on the way to the Women's College World Series. I caught up with her earlier this week. We'll play that conversation for you. Great stuff from Coach Ricketts as she has really got this softball program going in the right direction. And we'll talk a little bit about Alyssa Faircloth, who, if you aren't aware of who that is, threw a no-hitter against Oregon in Game 2 of that regional. I put that among the greatest performances by a Bulldog athlete maybe ever. Think about the stakes. Think about throwing a no-hitter in that situation. It's right up there for me. So that conversation when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live on Super Talk Mississippi.
If you're overwhelmed,
Super Talk Mississippi and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Yeah. Thunder and Lightning live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Earlier this week, had a chance to sit down with Mississippi State softball coach Samantha Ricketts to talk about her team as they're headed to the Super Regionals for the second time in her tenure here in Starkville. Let's go now to that conversation with Mississippi State softball coach Samantha Ricketts. As always, we don't have a lot of hard and fast rules on Thunder and Lightning, but one of them's got to be when you go to a Super Regional, you get to be on the podcast. Coach Samantha Ricketts joined us, Mississippi State softball, headed to the round of 16 for the second time in her tenure there. It's been a pretty good couple about a month now for the bloodline, Coach. If I get you a maroon and white Ulafala, would you wear it on the side, in the dugout?
I don't know about in the dugout, but we definitely would have it nearby, I think.
Okay. I'm just saying they need to acknowledge you is all I'm trying to say here. So, you go to the regional, Oregon, that's a good program. You're headed out to the West Coast. What did you think the biggest factor was for your team if they were going to be able to advance?
I think, we liked the draw. I think the toughest part of it was just really going across the country and the travel there. We left 2 days in advance because of that. So it was, a 6-hour flight to get there and then get adjusted to the time change. So that, I think, was probably our biggest concern. But honestly, being on the road a lot of times for these postseason events is better. There's just less distractions. It's very much just, we're going to go to the field, we're going to go hit, and then we're going to go back to the hotel. And that's kind of what we did for 4 straight days, and it worked out well for us there.
Do you change anything preparation-wise when you're in the postseason, or is it the same, day one of camp versus here we are in the postseason, it's all the same?
It's pretty similar to what we go through, particularly with SEC play. And we talk a lot about that during the season, that SEC weekends, all eight weekends is like a super regional, you know, because you pretty much are playing super regional teams week in and week out in our conference. So it's the same type of preparation, the same way we prepare leading up at practice, as well as the way we approach film and everything on game days. That way they're in that routine and not feeling like the moment's any bigger for them.
Do you have any postseason superstitions?
Well, I think we all get a little bit superstitious when things are going well. So
you're a little stitious.
Just a little bit. I'd say most of the staff was a little bit like that. Coach T with her pitchers was not at all. And she said this weekend, she said, "I'm just not organized enough to be superstitious." So we were all wearing the same thing on Sunday. We're all in maroon and she's in a black sweatshirt. And we're like, "What are you doing?" But it's fine. Just let her do what she wants to do.
I felt that comment. I'm not organized enough to be superstitious. I'm going to keep that. All right. For the uninitiated, explain the broccoli.
Oh my gosh. The broccoli, we got there for our first game of the day. We were the first game on Friday. And there was this just random fan up in the very top of the center field bleachers who he was there before the team was. And he was up at the very top and dancing away just with he had a stalk of broccoli in each hand. He says they're just nature's pom-poms. And, you know, we were trying to figure out who this guy was, what was happening. And then over the course of the weekend, some of the Oregon employees and workers were telling us that, yeah, he does this at all types of sporting events all across the Pacific Northwest, and found his social media. I think it started out at a basketball game in 2022. And he heard there was softball going on this weekend, and he just wants to kind of spread joy. I think he's a special ed teacher, and I think it's meaningful to him, just the energy he gets to be around. And he's found that in softball a little bit, and our team embraced it. They love to have fun, and they're dancing with him from across the field. And then on Sunday's game, the ESPN crew that had the call on the weekend, they brought both dugouts a couple stalks of broccoli. And two of our senior parents stopped at a Safeway on their way in and brought in also two grocery bags of broccoli for our dugout. So we had literally broccoli coming out of our ears in that dugout. It was everywhere.
Do you like broccoli?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's say. I
think Allison Supan might have taken a bite out of it raw in the dugout.
That's a bit much.
That was a lot.
That's a bit much. Let's roast our vegetables, you know. Yes. Let's do something with them. We got to talk about Alyssa Faircloth, because I don't know that I'm a historian of Mississippi State sports, but I know my Mississippi State sports history. And I was trying to think, like, the greatest performances ever. And then you take into account where they are in the postseason. It's on the list. It's in the top tier for me. How early in the game did you realize she's dealing out there? She's got a little more juice than maybe even normal.
I think we realized it pretty early. There was one, I can't remember exactly which batter it was, but we talked about it after. Early in the game, she got behind 2-0 on one of the hitters, and she turned around to her infield, and she just like tapped her chest, was like, "I got this, I'm going to get her." And we were like, "Oh, okay." And you know, she's always that competitor on the mound, and you can see it in her face, but just kind of the way that she was just in the zone and really continued to attack. And probably the 8-pitch at bat to their leadoff hitter, one of the best hitters in that Oregon lineup, that she just continued to battle and battle. And then when she finally struck her out with the rise ball over her head, I think that was kind of the at-bat. We're like, all right, she's got this. She's going to finish this game out.
So you know that with no hitters, there's a lot of, you know, don't talk to them and don't let them know what's going on. Did she have that moment in the dugout or on the mound where she looked around, she realized, "I'm throwing a no-hitter"?
She said she realized it probably about the fourth or fifth inning. But I think she just kind of went about her business. She's usually, when she's the one in the game pitching, sits on the dugout bench behind everybody else up at the top. It's just kind of her routine, making sure she's getting some rest in. But I don't think at one point she ever kind of realized it and felt like any sort of pressure from it either.
I didn't notice. But did y'all do the whole don't sit by her thing?
No, I mean, it wasn't on purpose. That's just kind of, honestly, I bet half the team didn't realize what was going on. That's just how they are sometimes. But that's just her routine. Most of the pitchers, when they're the one in the game, they're going to stay off their feet and kind of sit in the background and get some rest.
So I assume, you know, game three, St. Mary's, you're up 2-0. You need a little insurance run there. I just assumed that before she went to the plate, you told Tatum Silva, "Hey, hit a home run here." That's
yeah,
exactly. Good coaching.
That's exactly opinion. What I told her, right? It's like, "Hey, I'm putting you in to hit a 3-run bomb. Let's do it."
I mean, that's her first home run as a Mississippi State Bulldog. You had to what's the reaction there where you're like, "Oh."
Yeah, it was really special. Tatum entered probably an inning before. She's usually our late inning defender in left field, just really solid defensively and somebody that we knew we wanted in once we had a lead. And you know, she'd had really good at bats for us throughout the year. She'd been hurt the last 3 weeks or so with kind of a knee injury sidelining her. So hadn't really had as many appearances as I know we would have liked. But really this whole season, since transferring in, she came in kind of mainly more of a slap hitter. Really a lot in line of like how Sierra Sacco was when she transferred to us, more of a slap hitter that we're trying to turn into a power hitter. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing with Tatum was just convincing her that she was. And I think she really started to buy into that the last few weeks at practice and just told her to go get her best swing off and find a way to drive a run in for us. And, you know, she didn't miss on that one. It was just really special to see her hard work paying off. And she came in and was like, I'm a hitter. I'm a hitter. I'm like, yes, you are.
So obviously, if you had your choice, you'd be playing this weekend here in Starkville. I have to imagine your second choice might be where you're headed, back home to Norman, Oklahoma. I don't know about that because I know the team you're playing is really, really good. But for you, is it something special about being able to go back to Oklahoma and have this moment in the postseason?
Yeah, it's always really special. You got to go back there last season and the regular season and see the new stadium that they had just built. And, you know, obviously a program that I just respect and, you know, have just a lot of really fond memories of them, of the coaching staff. But, you know, to play them in the postseason, it is. It's different, and I think it makes it a little bit more exciting. But really, overall, just looking forward to this opportunity for this program and for our players. It's something that all of these players have really bought into when choosing Mississippi State. You know, a lot of times when people told us that, hey, you can't win at Mississippi State, softball's never going to be able to do it. And for us to go to our second Super in 6 years, and it's because of these players who have really bought into that and wanted to elevate this program and this staff. And for us to get to do that and then to get to go and do it against a perennial powerhouse like OU, I think it's just a good moment for us of like, hey, you know, our hard work is pulling, it is showing up, and, you know, we can do this. We can compete at the best with the highest level.
You know that you're not going to be the favorite to win this Super Regional right now. As a coach, do you enjoy the nobody believes in us moments?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no pressure on us. You know, we're not expected to win. We're not expected to go in there and really do much of anything. And so we just get to go in and relax and worry about us. And I think that's kind of really continues on with the message that we kind of go with all year long. You know, we really thrive on the blue collar mentality and that we're going to have to work and scratch and claw for any respect or any success that we're going to get all year long. So I think it's just another opportunity for us to go out there and not let the moment get too big, I think, is going to be the biggest thing. And just trying to stay present in each and every moment and not looking forward, because it is a different feeling when you're 2 games away from Oklahoma City. And I think that's the biggest difference, is they're a program and a lineup that's used to that. And for us, it's going to be something that's rather new. But that's where people like myself, Coach T, that have been in those moments and that experience, I think is something that really helps pay off, and just trying to continue to keep them present through the weekend.
It's been a hell of a run for you, Coach Ricketts. Let's see if we can't get it to extend just a little bit longer. Samantha Ricketts, Mississippi State softball, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
I told Coach Ricketts after we stopped recording there, I was like, hey, if you win this weekend, you're coming right back on. So if the Mississippi State can get through this Super Regional and find their way to the Women's College World Series for the first time, we'll hear from Coach Ricketts again. Absolutely will. And I'm going to put some thought into it, and maybe it'll be on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, but a no-hitter in a regional, where does that rank, like, all time for best performances by a Bulldog ever? I need to put on my thinking cap a little bit about that one and see where it's got to be up there. It's absolutely got to be up there. All right, we're going to wrap things up when we come back. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi on a Wednesday, presented by Dossett Big Four. Back with you to wrap it up in just a minute.
We've sent that Rip Van Winkle.
And Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Thank you. Let's wrap it up on Wednesday. Thunder and Lightning live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino has almost brought the vehicle to a complete halt. We've just got to check both rear view mirrors there. We're going to be okay. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate Dawson Big Four up in Tupelo. Guys, if you are looking for a new vehicle right now, that is the place to shop. Dawson Big Four in North Mississippi, 47 years serving the community. See the phone number right there, 662-842-4162. Or, of course, you can just visit them online at DawsonBig4.com or just go out and drive up to the lot at 628 South Gloucester Street in Tupelo. All right. What are we gonna finish up here with? I'm already starting to work in my head the names I want to throw out for the best performance by a Bulldog ever. I got a few that are in my brain as we speak. So we'll that'll be on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. We'll do that for sure. For Mississippi State baseball, you know, this is an interesting game tomorrow. They can play loose. They have nothing to lose. They're locked into a regional. Georgia is kind of in the same spot, though, right? They know they're not going anywhere. They're not going to drop too far. At worst, they're going to be like the 4 or 5 seed in this upcoming NCAA tournament. So you got two teams that don't have anything to gain. They have nothing to lose. Maybe just see a really good baseball game. You know, State lost those three games to Georgia and Starkville, but they were all close. You know, they lost by 1, they lost by 2, and then they lost by 3, but that game went into extra innings, and they hit a 3-run home run there. And, you know, State had opportunities to win those games, and their season, where they would be sitting right now if they had won one of those games is, you know, it's a big difference. And it is kind of interesting, right? If I tell you that, okay, so Mississippi State beat Georgia one game in Starkville, so they finished the season, you know, with 17 conference wins. You might be talking about, well, they could very well be the 8th seed in this upcoming tournament. But if they beat them tomorrow, well, no, that's too late for that. It's kind of funny how the SEC tournament works. We talked about it earlier on Sports Talk about how it matters and it doesn't matter at the same time, if that makes sense. You have to have a little nuance when you look at it. So for State, I think it's just an opportunity to kind of shake off the idea that you can't beat these good teams. You know, we talked about it earlier. State played 7 series this year against teams that are currently ranked in the top 25 and then will go to the NCAA tournament. They lost 6 of those series. They were swept in 2 of them and dropped a rubber game in the other 4. So this would be an opportunity just to take some of that. Look, no, you beat them one time. You're still 1-3 against them. Nobody's going to say, oh, wait, hold on. We got to make State the favorite to win the national title. Nothing like that. You just get that little bit of confidence of, okay, we can beat this team. We should have beaten them at least one time in Starkville. We let it slip away from us, but now we've got that going for us. Offensively, State's been a pretty good place these past few weeks. You know, you look at, they scored double-digit runs against Auburn in the first game. The second next two games, not so much. But then they were really good offensively. Pitching is what let them down against Texas A&M. And then, you know, today, 12 runs in a run rule shortened game. So the bats are starting to find their way a little bit. And they're a little bit more of the manufacturing of runs. You know, I know Valencia's had the 2 home runs, and Woodson had a home run as well. But State also, you know, they knocked in a run from an RBI single from Garrick Fry. Garrick Fry also got plunked with bases loaded and scored a run. Ace Reese drew a walk with bases loaded and scored a run. So there was some manufacturing of runs going on there as well. So that's a good sign for Mississippi State. They really have been super home run dependent, really, since the Ole Miss series. We've talked about that a few times. It's almost like they had a body snatcher moment with Ole Miss. Now Ole Miss has kind of gotten back to where they were on that as well. Hey, speaking of that, as you may have noticed, I have once again, for the 3rd time in 4 years, defeated Richard Cross in our statewide superiority battle. Now he's gonna run his mouth. He's gonna talk about, oh, college football playoff, blah blah blah. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You set the rules of engagement. I met them. I was up to the challenge. So I will hope, if you've noticed on social media, I've tweeted it out, and I will continue to do so. We're setting up a fundraiser. We're going to make a donation to the Palmer Home and a donation to the State Excellence Fund in the name of Richard Cross. Richard Cross is about to become a big-time booster of Mississippi State Athletics. So if you want to help, check out my Twitter page, @BrianHaydad, and You can donate there, whatever you donate. So every dollar you donate, half will go to Mississippi State and half will go to the Palmer home. Looking forward to making a big donation, hopefully, to both of those great institutions. And, of course, Richard will be bedecked and bedazzled in maroon and white on July 16th. So looking forward to that. I look forward to the Palmer Home Radioton for two reasons. Three reasons. One, I like to make sure we raise a lot of money for those good people. Two, I like to see Richard Cross in maroon and white. And three, I like to see a completely clean-shaven rhino, which we know will happen just a couple of months from today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Back tomorrow. Hey, Sports Talk Mississippi will be live at the same time the Mississippi State baseball game is live. Download the Super Talk app to find us if you want to listen to the show while the game is going on. We'll see you tomorrow. For Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.